tuned in to the K-State Radio Network and Agriculture Today. Good to have you aboard. And checking in now on what's going on in the grain markets, we find that these markets have become quite weather sensitive of late, and that's among the things we'll talk over with K-State Research and Extension grain market economist Dan O'Brien out of his office in Colby, Northwest Kansas. It's pretty clear that once there's a hint of any stress relief for these crops in the ground now, Dan, the markets are going to take that news and run lower with it.
That's what happened on yesterday's markets, Eric. The Weather Service, National Weather Service, came out with a forecast of moderate temperatures, some rainfall in the primary Corn Belt areas heading off into next week. And with that, we saw a retrenchment of 10, 15, 20 cents in various contracts, with soybeans being down on yesterday's close about just under 15 cents. Corn down about 6 cents. Really mixed hard red winter wheat. So that follows on the weather patterns that we've seen, well, last week or so. Again, extremely high temperatures, the development of drought conditions in the northern plains, especially affecting the hard red spring wheat crop. Again, when you look at rainfall accumulations over the last 14 and 30 days, there's some extremely dry areas that haven't caught a lot of rain, particularly as you look from the extreme heat off into the very southwestern United States and see how that's over the last couple of weeks expanded off up into a good part of Kansas, parts of Nebraska, even Iowa, starting to show some worry of dry conditions. But we've seen more crop stress over the last bit of time than we had been having in a lot of those central to eastern Corn Belt areas through most of the spring. In fact, our issue in the central and eastern Corn Belt has been too much moisture, mm-hmm. and crop replanting, et cetera. From a Kansas point of view, we think of situations like that where we have excessive or abundant moisture in the spring. We wonder about root development. And so here you had crops that were planted during a time when they had ample moisture. You wonder how their root system has developed. Well, now we have had, at least in the last several days, some pretty high temperatures on some of those crops. So maybe the thing to stand back and say is that we are anything but assured of where our weather patterns are yet going this summer. You look at the forecast for the month of July and August, they are forecasting higher than normal temperatures for the month of July and also for the month of August. For the precipitation side of things, for July, you have kind of a mixed picture, pretty dry really through most of Kansas, especially on up into Nebraska, heading up towards Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, Iowa, I guess the northwest three-quarters of the state, not with any abundant moisture, moderate dryness through a good chunk of the other parts of the Corn Belt, again, Illinois and Indiana. And as you look at that in July, there's some alleviation for that precipitation shortfall projected off into August for, basically from North Dakota running down towards Illinois. But still, to have gotten through a hot July would be pretty telling and could at least bring some focus onto the markets as to the weather risk and open the question of just what our yields are this year and also what our final production numbers would be.
Time will tell, obviously, but the markets will remain attuned to whatever weather is thrown at those crops here in the next several weeks, to be sure. Checking the docket on exports this week and looking at wheat, that's one of the few shining points right now with respect to overseas grain sales, Dad.
We had a good week for the week ending the 15th of June, 26 million bushels of U.S. wheat exports. We need a pace of about 19 to meet the USDA's June 9th projection for this new crop marketing year that we're in, 2017-18, again, what began June 1st. So that's all good news. For hard red winter wheat, we've got some exports of about 9.9 million. So of the total wheat exports in the U.S. of 26 million bushels, about 9.9 of it was with hard red winter, about 9.7 million bushels of that hard red spring wheat. So some good movement. And USDA's projection of 1 billion bushels for this marketing year would be down just modestly from what we had last year. And again, I think for the USDA as they make projections of what wheat exports out of the U.S. will be in the coming year. They're basically assuming normality and neutrality in terms of crops around the world. And there are some places around the world that aren't doing all that sterling in terms of their crop development. You've got to have some drought and excessive heat issues impacting Spain and Portugal and the European Union. There's basically a drought designated for Ukraine. Russia seems to be doing pretty well, but the Ukraine isn't. Unfavorably dry weather in northeast China, soil moisture being challenged or reduced for corn and soybeans, having a potential impact in for those markets. Australia, a major wheat world export competitor for the U.S., unfavorably dry. I guess as you look up into Canada, we have, if anything, now too much moisture in some key areas. So I guess the reason I'm focusing so much on weather right now, Eric, as we're talking about this today, is that we are anything but settled in terms of what the outcomes will be this year for crops. And we're right in the time periods for a lot of these crops where we're very, very vulnerable, very sensitive to weather conditions, moisture in particular, heat, and also as we move off into July and August for corn and soybeans, very sensitive to what our crop development situation would be. And I think with the potential for varying and in some cases some periods of extreme weather, we're likely to have pretty volatile and responsive futures prices. So the volatility we've seen in the last week or so for the ups and downs of the market, you know, up earlier, down here in the last day or so, I think that's just a precursor for what could be a pretty volatile set of futures markets for grains as we move on from here in basically mid to latter June on through July and August.
And with that, we do want to this week pass along more information that you've put together on price probabilities for our major grains. Last week, you shared your numbers on wheat and corn. You have gone through that same exercise for soybeans to give us an idea of what to expect there. And what's the general synopsis, if you will?
The biggest issue with soybeans that's right in front of us has to do with the acreage numbers. Again, at the end of this month, we'll have the USDA acreage figures. A lot of, quote, fears in the market that whatever planting challenges we had for corn earlier on in the last 30 to 45 days throughout the U.S., that we probably had some acres pushed off into soybeans. And, you know, are we looking at 90 million plus acres of soybean plantings? Again, we're just sort of dialing in 47, 48 bushel per acre for yields. If we get that, then we're handily over 4 billion bushels of soybeans again that would be produced in 2017. Again, this is absent any short crop challenge to the crop. But if we have any type of a normal crop, we're over 4 billion bushels. We had, and that'd be stacked on top of about 450 million bushels of carry-in. So I think the scenario that people watching the soybean market we're wary of as in terms of market outcomes for this 2017 crop is that, gosh, with a large South American crop that we've already had and the possibility of large acreage and any type of yield that's not a short yield, it looks like we could be looking at some sizable carryovers approaching 500 million bushels, even more if we get an over-the-top crop. And if that comes about, then and we have excessive stocks and no other challenges coming in South America as we move through the winter, then where would we find ourselves in the soybean market? So there's some risk for soybeans to move. If they're in the 9 to 10 range, you'd wonder about 9 holding for the U.S. overall average price and even cash prices moving markedly lower than that. Even as we look at cash prices now, gosh, in central Kansas, the range of prices runs on yesterday's closes 804, 808 in some locations, to a high of about, there's a 794 bid, and this was at the major terminals. So already we're seeing prices around $8, plus or minus some a little bit. And if we have a large soybean crop in the U.S., then where do soybean prices go is probably the question.
And that leads to one final item we'll squeeze in here. On local basis for our grains, soybean basis not doing so hot, but you note basis for feed grains have narrowed up, at least compared to last year.
Yes, feed grain basis bids, given where we were a year ago at some key locations, Salina, Garden City, we've actually seen basis levels this year improve over what they were a year ago. Of course, last year we were in the midst of basis widening out and trending lower all the way into harvest. Well, we took those wide basis levels at harvest, moved through the first part of this year. Well, now we're starting to trend up in basis levels, probably indicative of some worries about crops. For wheat, we're basically at some of these key locations around the states. We've been trending upwards lately, as opposed to last year when we were trending down. And we're just about at the exact same point, just coming at it from different directions as to where we were a year ago. And that's really interesting with harvest happening to have the basis for wheat in Kansas to show some improvement. So that's indicative of concerns about lower acreage, a little bit lower production, and probably the crop problems we're seeing up in the Dakotas that are affecting the overall U.S. wheat supply-demand balance sheet.
Dan, enjoy the weekend as always, and we'll touch base next Friday. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
Comments on the grain market trends from Research and Extension grain market economist at K-State, Dan O'Brien. Agriculture Today returns shortly here on the K-State Radio Network.